If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs 1. We're going to be reading there in just a second. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we invite you to speak again. We want to humble ourselves to you, thanking you that as Lord of all, as the creator of all things, that you speak to us and you speak to us through your word. But we know we need to be receptive and we want to have ears to hear. Through Christ I pray. Amen. This is the last of my Aren't You Glad It's a New Year devotions. Proverbs 1 is a great place for that. But, you know, we need new beginnings. You know, Ecclesiastes says that there's a time for everything and a season for everything under the sun. You know, there's a time to laugh and a time to cry. You know, if you're a Washington football fan, maybe there's a time to cry and a time to cry more, perhaps. But it says there's a time to begin and a time to end. And years ago, I attended one of those Dale Carnegie seminars, and how to win friends and influence people. I don't know that I applied much from it, obviously, but one of the things he talked about was the need, people's personal needs for seasons. And they pointed out how we like baseball season because there's a clear preseason, a clear season, a clear playoff and World Series and an ending and then a break. And the same thing with football seasons or basketball seasons. But can you imagine if there weren't seasons, a time to say, this is where we're starting over, and a time to be able to say, this is where we're ending, and this is how we celebrate, and now we have a time of renewal. So that's kind of what we're giving here with the new year. And so that's why it's important for us as we begin this new year to say, now what is the opportunity for me to start fresh in this year? And so I think that's why it's so good for us to go back to Proverbs chapter 1, where it talks about beginnings. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." That's the New King James Version. Now, if there's one prayer that I have for us this year, it is that God would make us wiser than we were last year. Wouldn't you like that? A little bit wiser, a little bit smarter, fewer mistakes, stronger lives, stronger character, stronger marriages, stronger relationship with God and with people. Now, if there's one thing that I think that we all can agree on, it is that wisdom is a good thing. But just in case we aren't sure how valuable wisdom is, Solomon in Proverbs begins by reminding us. In verse 5, he says, "Get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth." He knows he's inspired by the Holy Spirit. "Do not forsake her, wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her." Verse 9, "She will place on your head an adornment of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you." Proverbs 16:16 says, "How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver." Now, chew on that one for a bit. And just think how much energy people put into to make money. How much of a priority we put into think, if I can just get money, I'll be happier. My life will be easier. I'll be able to have more pleasure. The future will be better. I'll be more secure. If I can just get more money, we think, then money will give me those things. And sometimes it can. But the Bible says, if you want all those things, more important than getting more money is getting more wisdom. So all the energy we might instinctively put into making money, the Bible would say, put that energy into gaining wisdom. Chew on that. Now, the good news is God wants you to have wisdom. That's kind of the scary thing. Well, there are some people out there that are like really wise. I mean, you got your Aristotles and your Platos and your, you know, Pat Ferguson's kind of thing. But can I be really wise? James 1:5 has always been a go-to verse for me. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, the Bible tells us, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. Here's God's promise to you. It doesn't matter what your IQ is. God wants to give you wisdom. He wants to give it to you generously. It doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made in the past. It doesn't matter how many holes you have dug for yourself in the past. God wants to give it to you ungrudgingly. I like that. Another translation says, without finding faults. No matter who you are, God wants to give you wisdom. God wants to make you wise. He wants to draw you closer to him. He wants to give you the mind of Christ, the thinking of Christ, the heart of Christ, the instincts of Christ, the conscience of Jesus Christ. And how do you get it? James says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. Which is kind of ironic. Who doesn't lack wisdom? It's the person who thinks they don't need to ask God for wisdom, I suppose. But that's great news. You don't have to be special. You don't have to get advanced degrees. God just says, ask. And when you're saying, well, if I ask, he won't give it. No, ask. He wants to give generously. I'm not good enough. No, ask. He wants to give without finding faults. Ask. So the first action that I want for us to propose this today is just to stop right here. For the next 7 days, what would it look like if you would ask God every day, God, give me wisdom? You don't have to take an hour to ask him. Just ask God once every day, God, give me wisdom. What if you would do that for the next week? What about the next 14 days? What if every day for the month, the next month, let's say, what if every day through the end of February, just once, you'd pray, God, make me wise. God, make me wise. I tell you, if there's one thing that Christians need right now in our generation, we need strength, we need patience, we need character, but we need wisdom. May God raise up for us a generation of followers of Jesus Christ who are wiser than the last generation and the generation before, so we can be God's wisdom, God's light and love in this generation. What would it look like for us if we were to pray that prayer every day? Now, what does it mean that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Let's begin by, first of all, understanding what it doesn't mean. There's no place in the Bible. Actually, let me say it like this. You might say, here in Proverbs, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But in 1 John, it says that perfect love casts out fear. So how, on the one hand, can the fear of the Lord be the beginning of wisdom, and yet God is love, and if we know we're loved by God, perfect love, he loves us perfectly, casts out fear, or if we love God perfectly, we won't be fearful. How can those two be the same? Well, obviously the answer is the Bible contradicts itself, and it's just not true. Of course, I'm joking, but that's what people who are skeptics and don't want to take the Bible as literature and treat it as solid literature will do. The Bible isn't contradicting. You put those two thoughts together and there's deep wisdom to be found. First, healthy love leads to healthy fear. Healthy fear, there's a difference between healthy fear and unhealthy fear. There is an unhealthy fear which is a terror of God. There's no place in the Bible that says we should live in terror of God unless we're living outside God's will. You know, if people are lost, they better be afraid of God. Hebrews 10:31 says, it's a terrifying thing to fall in the hands of a living God. You know, listen, if you are bankrupt and can't pay the bills, you better be afraid of the bank. You know, if you have a pack of wild, angry, hungry pit bulls headed your direction, you better be afraid. You better take some action. And if you're on the wrong side of a just and perfect God, you better be afraid. But if you know the love of God through Jesus Christ, if you've received his grace, there's no need for terror of God. And yet, it's still true, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. By the way, I'll get to that in just a second. So what's it mean? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What's the wisdom there? Well, the first thing that means is the fear of the Lord is the first step to be wise. Think of it like this. I was counting with my grandson the other day. He's 3 years old and, of course, an exceptionally brilliant child. But we were counting and, you know, we counted up to 10 and then he kept going, 11, 12, 13. We got up to 19 and he kept going, 20, 21, 22. And I was like, good for you, Oliver. And he's smiling, he's having a good time. And he's just like, he's going to keep on counting. Well, the next day we had dinner and the next day we began to discuss trigonometry because I thought if he can count to 20, then he ought to be able to handle higher math. Calculus is tomorrow. That's not how it works, is it? You don't all of a sudden jump into calculus or trigonometry. You don't go from counting to 10, counting to 20, to all of a sudden doing higher math. And so it is in our relationship with God. So it is with wisdom. The fear of the Lord is not the end of wisdom, but it's the beginning of becoming wise. See, the opposite of the fear of the Lord is pride. The opposite of the fear of the Lord is a lack of humble reverence for him. A lack of the fear of the Lord is we feel like we are equal with God. In Judges chapter 17, verse 6, here's the opposite of the fear of the Lord. It says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what seemed what is right to him. Romans chapter 3, verse 18 in the New Testament describes people, says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. That's the New Testament version of, in those days, everybody did what was right in his or her own eyes. The foolishness, part of the reason we need to be wiser than our present age is our present age has forgotten the fear of the Lord, and they may throw God's name around sometimes, but they do not conduct themselves as though they are accountable to a holy and righteous God who will judge the living and the dead. There's not a sense in which, I mean, why is there cheating? Why is there mistreatment? Why is there abuses of power? It's because people don't think, wait a second, I am accountable to God. And there is a God who is just and who is good. And I don't determine right and wrong myself. He does. And living in harmony with him is the best way to live here. And I don't want to get sideways with the God of the universe. It is a scary thing to fall into the hands of an angry God, of a just God. But when people lose their sense of respect for God and think that they can write the rules themselves. They can say that the taking of innocent unborn life is okay. Doesn't matter what the Bible says. They determine what's right and wrong in terms of sexuality. We can live together, you know, because we get to say what's right and wrong. Sex outside marriage, not a problem. But lying to people, not a problem. Just being hostile toward people, not a problem. You know, all the, whenever people lose the sense of there is a God in the universe and I live under him, they become a law unto themselves. That's the beginning of foolishness. It's pride. But the fear of the Lord, a proper respect that God is on his throne, he's in his heavens, is the beginning of wisdom. Because we know that he's the one who determines right and wrong, and we also know he's in control. No matter what happens, ultimately, there's a payday someday. Ultimately, his justice will be seen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, so it means we respect God in all things. It means we're humble in prayer, and we know however God answers prayer, it's right. It means we're humble in our approach to the Bible. We're very careful not to manipulate the Bible to say what we want it to say. You know, God forgive the politicians who abuse God's word to make it to say what they want to say, to give themselves credibility, that kind of blasphemy. No, we read the Bible carefully to allow it to say what God says. We humble ourselves, the fear of the Lord toward the Bible. We have a fear of the Lord when it comes to obedience, as I've already said. We want to obey him in all things. How often have we seen people get themselves in trouble because they lack the fear of the Lord? You know, they begin instead with the fear of people, the fear of being ostracized or not being accepted by people. Or maybe it's the fear of things not working. And so they do what is against what God would say in the Bible because they're more afraid of something not being pragmatic in the short term than they are respectful toward the God of the universe. They have a fear of not being happy, a fear of not following their emotions, a fear of being rejected. But how often in the Bible do we see that people mess up their lives? Because they fear the wrong things and they lose their fear of the Lord. I made a list here. Abraham feared that Abimelech would take Sarah as his wife and kill him. And so he lies about Sarah. Abraham feared Pharaoh. Moses feared Pharaoh. And so he gets in this fight with God about, oh, I don't want to talk to Pharaoh. And God gets angry at Moses. People of Israel feared the Canaanites. And so they wouldn't go in when God said go in and they lost their chance. Samson feared not being happy. And he ended up losing his eyes and his power, his strength. Peter feared the wind and the waves and he began to sink. The rich young ruler feared being poor, so he wouldn't follow Jesus and give up everything he had. Pilate feared the crowds. The Pharisees, the Bible says, loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. See, the fear of the Lord would have been the beginning of wisdom for those people. The best way we can be wise, the place it begins, is with a humble respect that God is God and I am not. Fear of the Lord begins wisdom. So, if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, then the most important thing we can do today is to seek first the kingdom of God. So, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts. But you know where it ends in action? It ends with seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you as well. Never lose your healthy fear of being outside God's will. Never lose that healthy respect that I need God's power. I need God's blessing in this moment. And I don't want to walk through life without his power and blessing. And so I want to follow him and seek him and obey him in all things. because he is God. I think it's one of the reasons one of our favorite stories from C.S. Lewis' Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, is where the children are first hearing about Aslan. Now, Aslan in the books represents Jesus. It's the Jesus character, the great lion. And the children are in Narnia, and they're hearing about this great lion, Aslan, for the first time. And Mr. Beaver says, Aslan is the lion. He says, the great lion. Oh, says Susan, little girl, I'd thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. You know, we live in a world where people value safety above everything, which is really not wise. I love that line, that perspective of C.S. Lewis. Jesus is king. He is not safe. He's Lord of all. There will come a day when Jesus returns, and he will return in glory and power. He will return with his angelic hosts. And on that day, nobody will say, I wonder if I'm better than he is. I wonder if I'm smarter than he is. I wonder if I should listen to him. On that day, every knee who recognizes him will bow in respect. It'll be a day of joyful, reverent trembling. And we'll worship him because he's not safe, but he is good. And so we trust him. We follow him. What a glorious day that will be. And so today we seek him first in his kingdom because he is worthy of respect and he is good. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Get wisdom. Pray for wisdom. Because he is king. Wisdom. Chew on that today. And may God make us wiser. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would give us wisdom today. That we would walk with you in reverent humility as your children and as your servants. We thank you that we can call on you as Lord because of Jesus Christ. Through him we pray these things. Amen. I pray that God will raise up a generation of wise people. Until next time.